Welcome to Shattering Myths, a program devoted to the most important and the fastest growing segment of society, all around the world. To those who have come to know, this program is devoted to you. Those who realize now that the world's political, religious, military, and economic institutions are corrupt, that they cannot be fixed, that they are indeed counterproductive. Our mission, and it will start today with IQ Al Rasuli, is to know who is working against our interest, why they are doing so. Because ultimately, exposing and condemning such treacherous schemes isn't hateful, it's caring. Our number, if you'd like to participate in this discussion, is 376-45. IQ, if you'll pardon me just one moment, I'd like to correct something that was being broadcast on the SRN news feed. They were celebrating how the economy was robust and recovering, and particularly celebrating the number of new jobs that were added. They spoke of 288,000 new jobs for April. A reason to celebrate, they said. Well, what they forgot to tell you was the whole truth. And this is the issue that I think permeates almost everything that we encounter. There was actually a net loss of 806,000 jobs in America. 806,000 fewer Americans were in the labor force than were in the labor force at this time a year ago. So rather than gaining 288,000 jobs, the nation actually lost 1 million jobs with a net loss of 806,000. The problem when people manipulate information and use the art of emphasis to tell half-truths. We'll endeavor not to do that here. Hello, IQ.
How are you, sir?
I am good. I'm a little frustrated by the overwhelming amount of bad news there is in the world. And no matter how strongly you and I attempt to expose and condemn one of the most egregious contributors to world violence, it continues to happen. I'm sure that you heard the Secretary of State of the United States, John Kerry, called Israel an apartheid nation. What was your reaction?
Well, he should be in a mental asylum, because this is an egregious accusation, and he knows that the only democratic free country between the eastern border of the United States of America to the western border of India is Israel. So, you know, if I were in a one of the, what do you call it, press people?
Yes.
Interviewing him?
Yes.
I would take off his clothes piece by piece.
Yeah. Well, expose him as being naked. You know, the reality is that apartheid means that you have isolated a large segment of your society racial differences, and that you are not allowing them any opportunity. But it's the very fact that Muslim Arabs in Israel, beginning in 1948 and continuing all the way through the 1990s, were so vastly better off than Arab Muslims in any other country. They were better educated. They had better health care. They had better economic opportunity. And they were freer than they were in any other Islamic country. And that's the reason that Yasser Arafat of the PLO called the first Intifada, because the comparison between how Muslims were treated in Israel and how Muslims were treated in the rest of the world poisoned by this horrible disease was making Islam look really bad.
Well, for people who don't know, and most people don't actually know, 20% of the Israeli population is Arab and Muslim.
Yes.
And not once, I repeat, not once was there a case of an Arab from Israel who actually left Israel to live in an Arab country. While hundreds of thousands of them between 1948 and the day that we are talking today, hundreds of thousands of them came from Arab and Muslim countries crossing African deserts to be in Israel. These are facts.
Yeah. And the fact of the matter is that unlike an apartheid state where the minority racial group has no political rights. The Muslims in Israel have full rights. They vote. Their vote counts just as much as anybody else's vote. And they have full rights to own property, to engage in business transactions, to an education, to health care, as anyone in the country. So it's not only untrue about Israel, and the opposite is actually true about Israel. The accusation of apartheid is completely true of every one of Israel's surrounding Muslim nations. They are all apartheid nations.
A friend of mine was sick in Israel. We communicate usually by email.
Mm-hmm.
He asked if I would go and see him.
Mm-hmm.
I did.
Mm-hmm.
70% of the people working in the hospital were Arabs, many of them women wearing hijab.
Yeah.
And in the Knesset, I was very surprised, in the Knesset, members of parliament were Arab, who talk all the time against Israel while they are in Israel.
Of course.
And they're still alive.
Right.
Because the reason I said they are still alive, because in my country, Iraq, if somebody did that, would have been dead in microseconds.
Oh, of course. And one of the things that's also interesting is that the factories and farms that have been built in conjunction with the housing in what's called the West Bank, it's really Judea and Samaria, that the majority of the employees are Arab Muslims, and that they're paid a wage that is vastly superior to what Arab Muslims earn any other place in an Islamic country.
Yeah. Well, I wanted Kerry, why he said these things when he knows that in Egypt, Muslims are killing Muslims, but they're concentrating more about the Christians.
Mm-hmm.
In Syria, they're slaughtering each other, and each side is shouting Allahu Akbar.
Well, and the primary victims, not in terms of overall numbers, because they don't represent a number of the right number of the population, but in terms of percentage per capita deaths, are Christians in Syria.
Correct. And he's talking about apartheid.
Oh yeah, what happened, by the way, in your country, Iraq? IQ al-Rasuli, who is the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam, was born in Iraq. That is his country. What happened in Iraq after the United States deposed the secular dictator Saddam Hussein and empowered a Shiite theocratic government? What happened to the Christians?
In the year 2003, we had 1.3 million. Today, as I speak to you, less than 200,000.
Now, there is a word that is worse than apartheid. It is genocide.
Absolutely. That's exactly what it was. Genocide. And that's what's happening to the Copts, the Christians of Egypt. By the way, the Copts are the original Egyptians.
Of course.
The Egyptians who call themselves Arabs are actually not Egyptians. They are the invaders
mm-hmm.
who invaded Egypt. The Arabs who invaded Egypt and Arabized it.
Correct.
Let me explain to people what I mean by Arabized it. Never in any history of any nation on earth would an invading people become a majority. Never. Unless they exterminated all the population. When the Arabs invaded Egypt, Egypt had over 1.5 to 2 million people. They Arabized them. After 1400 years, they made them into followers of Muhammad. They made them speak Arabic. And they made them dress the same as the Arabs. They Arabized them. They're not Arab.
Yeah, they Muslimized them is what
they've
done.
If you want to call them Muslimized, exactly the same thing.
The whole
of North Africa is not Arab.
Right.
That's why in Algeria, they have revolutions. They want to institute the language of the Berbers in Algeria, in Tunisia, and in Morocco.
Yeah. It is true that what's really a sad thing is that Muslims have managed to make Arab and Islam synonymous. And they have, and it should not be, because most Muslims, the vast preponderance of Muslims, including those in Africa, are not Arabs. The Turkish Muslims are not Arabs. The Iraqi and most of the Iraqi and all of the Iranian Muslims are not Arabs. And, of course, all of the Asian Muslims are not Arabs. But the reason that they've tried...
are literally in the peninsula of Arabia.
Right. But the reason that they've...
in the peninsula of Arabia.
Yeah, there's a reason, though. Muslims are destroyed mentally by a caustic religion, but it doesn't make all Muslims stupid. The religion's stupid, but not all Muslims are stupid. They integrated these concepts of Arab and Islam so that when someone attacks the religion, because the religion is vicious, the religion is incompatible with civilization, the Muslims will claim that that person is a racist, that they are bigoted, because they will associate Islam with the race. And we should be very careful not to play along. It is not true.
Well, Islam can't be a race, since it encompasses every shade of color of human beings, every nationality, on every state on earth. So it's not a race. It's a belief system. So when they use the word against Islam. I don't like that word. When we are revealing the facts about Islam, how am I revealing it against Islam? I'm revealing it for what it is. If it is vile, it is vile. I'm not saying anything against them. When somebody reveals something about against somebody else, is when you lie, when you pervert the truth, when you twist.
Yes, one of the things that's always found interesting when people, and I've had tens of thousands accuse me of slandering Muhammad, and I said, how can you slander Muhammad by saying that he was a pedophile? You can't slander Muhammad by saying he's a rapist. You can't slander Muhammad by saying that he was a terrorist. You can't slander Muhammad by saying that he built Islam on kidnapping and the slave trade. You can't slander Islam by telling the truth or you can't slander Muhammad by telling the truth about him. And that is the truth. It is not even refutable. The only sources that depict the nature of Muhammad, the sole founder of Islam, show him to be amongst the most repulsive people who ever lived. He was a sexual pervert. He was a bloodthirsty terrorist. He was engaged in the slave trade and in kidnapping. Everything that a moral person would be repulsed by, Muhammad embraced. So how do you slander such an individual? I would agree with IQ. It's impossible. We'll be back in a moment. Welcome back to Shattering This. We've been speaking about racism and Islam. IQ, even across the pond, my guess is that you may have heard of the NBA owner of the Los Angeles Clippers being accused of being a racist and everybody having a conniption fit in the news for 4 or 5 days over realization. And yet there is a racist creed in this world that is a great deal more vicious than a man just saying, I don't want a black person to sit next to me in a basketball game. And that would be Islam. Are you aware of the story that is coming out of Nigeria?
Of everything. Yes, yes. He was forbidden for the rest of his life to go back.
Right.
To the group, and they are trying to sell the group also, if I remember.
Right. Okay, and all the while there's public outrage at him saying, I don't want a black person to sit next to me at a basketball game, you've got Muslims in Nigeria kidnapping over 200 girls and raping them, torturing them, forcing them to marry, we'll put that in quotes, the Islamic terrorists. Kidnap, abduction, torture, rape. And where's the public outcry? Have you heard outside of Nigeria anyone screaming from the rooftops that Islam cannot be tolerated because of its continual abuse of little girls?
Well, not from Al Sharpton, not from Jesse Jackson, not from the black churches, and not from Obama, for sure.
But Obama's a black man. The men that you mentioned, like Al Sharpton and others, they're all African Americans. These little girls that were abducted, that were kidnapped, that are being tortured, that are being raped, are African girls. They're black girls. Why didn't any of these supposed moral leaders of society scream out against this crime when it is, it's incomprehensible how much greater this crime is than the crime of saying, I don't want a black person to sit next to me at a baseball game or a basketball game?
Because they are hypocrites. These people are hypocrites. They make noise only to have attention or get attention. They're getting attention. But do they have morality? No. Do they have a sense of justice? No. None of them. Literally, not a single one of them. We discussed this many times. 750 million women in Islam are treated like domestic animals. 125 million of them have genital mutilation. We discussed this.
Yes. Yes.
How come Al-Sharpton doesn't say anything?
Right.
The black churches don't say anything. Obama doesn't say anything. Hillary Clinton doesn't say anything. After all, she said she was a champion of women's rights. Whose women's rights? Which rights of which women?
Yes, do you tell me, how is it possible that over 200 innocent girls can be kidnapped out of their school and tortured and raped by fundamentalist Muslims, and no one says, this is unacceptable. There's something dreadfully wrong with this religion. We have to do something about this. You know, you're willing to tell a NBA team that it has to, owner, that he has to sell his franchise because he doesn't want a black person to sit next to him at a game, and yet you're not willing to say anything about the abduction and rape of 200 little girls?
Because these people are not decent human beings.
Yeah, they're immoral.
And I know that. The trouble is that 99% of Americans don't know that, including black Americans. And the black Americans are the most silent on this subject.
Yeah.
Yes, they have,
it's
very, very touchy if a white man says nigger or negro.
Right.
They are very touchy if a Jew says something. They are very touchy if a white Christian says something. But when they see how the Muslims are treating them, and they know, by the way, they know, it's not less stupid. They know it's on television 24 hours a day.
Yeah, this is not yet. Listen, racism when you have racism when you
Islam or Russia.
Yeah, that's true, Putin. But racism is inexcusable. There is no reason to judge people based upon their skin color. It is reprehensible. It is completely and totally ignorant to do so. But why is it that the spokespeople for the African-American community do not speak out on behalf of the kidnap and rape and torture of African girls? Why is it that America's feminist leaders don't speak out against the kidnap and torture and rape of women? Why are they silent when 125 million Muslim girls have been sexually mutilated by their Islamic parents? Are they complete hypocrites? To Shattering Mist, we're having a discussion with IQ Al-Rasuli, the author of Lifting the Veil, The True Faces of Muhammad and Islam. IQ, you're very well read, so you're probably also aware that in the last few days there has been an admission that the White House and the President of the United States engaged in exchange of emails while Americans in Benghazi were being killed by the Friends of Sharia Law, wielding American weapons, to position the president as someone whose policies were still right, and to blame the attack on a Christian film. What's your response to that?
When it happened, if you listen to some of my talks, I said at the time, this was nothing to do with the movie. That was at the time. I'm not talking about 2 years, 2 weeks later. The same day, I said it has nothing to do with the movie because I could see there were no movies in the Arab world that didn't show in any movies the Arab world. This was a lie. And the most important thing of all, the Prime Minister of Libya at the time in excellent English said, this is an organized attack. But they said, poo, poo. No, Israel doesn't know what he's talking about.
Yeah.
Obama is a pathological liar.
Yep.
Obama is a Muslim. He is a mentor. His mentor is Muhammad. Muhammad, you know as well as I do, was a pathological liar.
Yeah.
So is Obama. I would never change my mind about this subject, ever.
Yeah, it's amazing, too, that the CIA at the same time was briefing the president and the White House at the time of the attack and said that it was being perpetrated by the Islamic terrorist group Friends of Sharia, Ansar Sharia.
Right.
And the president of the United States deliberately, rather than trying to send in reinforcements to save the lives of Americans, was instead trying to salvage his reputation by creating a perception of what was happening that he knew was not true. He should have been impeached.
He should have been impeached 5 times already, for goodness sake.
Yes. But that event alone was absolutely
impeachable. 5 times. The smuggling of the weapons to the Mexican cartel.
I know. Said so many things.
How many times do the Americans need? Just because he's black, that's what he's getting away with murder.
I don't know. This is racism. Yeah,
he's
I don't know if that's.
He's getting away with murder because he's black.
Yeah, I'm not gonna go there because I don't make any issue racial. I am wholly opposed for any racial viewpoint.
Yeah,
I know. IQ. I'm gonna go with you until I know. IQ.
Okay.
But I can't.
He was impeached and he was disgraced.
Yes. Well, I am. Hereby announcing that I will not ever put a racial spin on any issue. I will agree with you that the man is a pathological liar and that he should have been impeached many times over. Let's turn the page to another part of the world, one inspired to uprising by Barack Hussein Obama. Have you seen the videos and the pictures out of Syria? Where the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria is showing their victims being crucified?
Yes.
Do you have a Quran?
They hang them upside down and cut them up exactly as they would do with sheep. It's on YouTube. Does Obama watch YouTube? I don't think he has got time. He's got time for golf.
Yeah. Can you, if you have a Quran handy, sometime before the program is over, I'd like you to read Quran 5:33 for our listeners so that they might understand how the symbolism of crucifixion is specifically an Islamic order from Allah for Muslims to crucify those that make mischief in the land. And but let me define a mischief maker before you read this. Anyone who does not display fundamentalist Islamic behavior, which would mean for anyone who is not a jihadist and does not support jihad, which is terrorism, they will be considered a mischief maker. Now, it's not just someone who embraces Christianity or embraces Judaism or embraces secular humanism and is an atheist. It's anyone who does not submit to fundamentalist Islam and therefore terrorism is a mischief maker. Is my interpretation of the mischief maker accurate?
Absolutely. Perfectly accurate.
Okay. Read the 5:33, if you would.
Well, it's Surah number 5, it's called Al-Ma'idah, which means the table, by the way.
Okay.
Al-Ma'idah chapter 5, verse 33 says, the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His Messenger, that is Muhammad,
mm-hmm.
and strive with might and main for mischief throughout the land is execution or crucifixion or the cutting off of hands and feet from opposite sides. Or exile from the land. That is their disgrace in this world. And the heavy punishment is theirs in the hereafter.
If I were to filter through every religious text the world has ever produced, I doubt that I could find a more vicious, a more grotesquely immoral statement than that one.
No, you won't. You know, it's interesting. I have always made a challenge to every human being listening to show us one single verse. Only one. One single verse in the whole of the Quran that shows any compassion and mercy towards unbelievers. Unbelievers and infidels are kuffar or kafirun, are 80% of current humanity. All those people who are not Muslim. All Christians, you know, Buddhists, Hindus, Jews, atheists. One verse.
You know what's funny, though? I can, you know, let me tell you what's funny. If you take it out of context, if you only quote part of it, Quran 5:32... The statement that comes before 533 is the one statement that Islamic advocates ignorantly, stupidly, repulsively will cite as a reason that Islam is peaceful. They will say, you know, if you kill one person, it's as if you killed all of humanity. What's interesting, of course, about that quote is that it's followed by Quran 5:33, which none of them cites, which is about crucifixion and cutting off arms and imprisoning and killing. And they also don't bother to tell you that that line was plagiarized from the Talmud. It doesn't fit in the Quran, and it was like much of the Quran, it was actually plagiarized from the Talmud.
But with all due respect,
yes.
In fact, it crucifies itself, with all due respect. I'll tell you why.
Yes.
No, I'll tell you why. I'll read it to you. It says, on that account, we ordained for the children of Israel... that if anyone slew a person, unless it be for murder or for spreading mischief in the land, it would be as if they slew the whole world. This was ordained only on the people of Israel. Nothing to do with Arabs.
Of course.
To do with Muhammad, and nothing to do with Islam.
Remember, I began this stating that to make it sound like the Quran has a peaceful statement, you have to take it out of context. You have to remove the first half of the verse, which identifies the people, and then you have to remove the second part of the verse that that speaks as it does about the statement about crucifying the mischief makers. So it is your challenge would remain, and I knew that you knew that, but that's why it is so duplicitous, so utterly destructive, when you have everything from presidents to television shows citing that line out of context to give Islam this veneer of being peaceful.
Unbelievable. And you know what? As you said before, almost 98% of people who want to convert people to Islam recite this verse in exactly the way you said it,
right,
out of context.
Now, let me ask you a question. The Islamic terrorist group, ISIS, the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, have they corrupted their religion, or has their religion corrupted them?
You can't corrupt anybody. Islam is corrupt. We were discussing something you cannot insult.
Right.
It's a belief system which is beneath contempt.
It is true. It is.
If an item is beneath contempt, you cannot possibly insult it.
Yeah, if I were to tell you that the Quran was the worst book ever written, and then I would list the 20 reasons that any one of which would hold sway to prove that point, that the Quran is the worst book ever written because it has no context, it's a jumbled mess, it is hopelessly repetitive, it is plagiarized, the language it claims to be written in, it isn't written in, it's actually written in Hebrew, it is grotesquely immoral. It is vicious. It is scientifically invalid. It's historically invalid. No matter which angle you look at.
By the way, there are no negative adjectives in any language on earth to describe the Quran, I promise you.
Yes.
I'll write them.
Yes.
I'll write them. I couldn't find.
It is... You know, they saw a picture the other day. A bunch of Muslim clerics had a Quran that looked like it was like 20 feet by 20 feet. And you're looking at it and said, why would you celebrate that piece of trash? I mean, anybody who is even remotely sane, who has read the Quran, recognizes that it is easily the worst book ever written. Hitler's Mein Kampf is a gift to humanity by comparison to the Quran.
I always said Hitler compared to Muhammad was Mother Teresa.
No, absolutely. Well, that's not really a great thing either, because we have now learned that Mother Teresa was a real witch of a woman. But nonetheless, I understand your comparison. It's astounding that America is actually supplying weapons to the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, and yet
they've been supplying weapons to the Muslim Brotherhood. They've been supplying weapons to the enemies of humanity. They've been supplying weapons. You know what? Sooner or later, and I'm talking about sooner than later, many aircraft on the United States airspace will be shot down with the same missiles that the American government gave to them.
Of course. Of course, that's what happened after.
Just wait and see.
Well, that's what happened based upon the last great jihad, when America decided that we could give Russia a proxy war by arming the Taliban in Afghanistan. That, and if we gave them surface-to-air missiles, they would shoot down Russian helicopters and the like, and they did. But the ones that were left over, they used to shoot down the aircraft. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. You know, welcome to reality. When you roll in the mud, you will get dirty. That's, this idea that the enemy of my enemy is my friend. Well, that may be true if you are completely amoral, if you have no functioning conscience, which is where America finds itself in these days. When we continue with Shattering Myths, we'll continue to discuss the curse that is Islam with IQ al-Rasuli. We'll be back in a moment. To Shattering Myths, in this last segment, I'd like to cover two issues with IQ al-Rasuli. The first of those is I want to read what's happening in Syria. This article says, it's from CNN, after nearly every Friday prayer, a few of these prisoners appear in public in a roundabout where dozens of onlookers stand by as they are charged and hurriedly read their sentences against them. And then the accused have those sentences carried out, ranging from lashes to execution. Then this quote, "It is like watching a waterfall of blood. There are more and more executions, and now the children watch like they are used to it. It's a strange and exciting scene, and they're not afraid to look." It's amazing how a religious occurrence, when religion and violence are married together and they are inseparable in Islam, actually scars the conscience to the point where little children enjoy the carnage. What hope is there for those children?
None. Why don't you watch the people, the children in the so-called Palestinian terrorists and the Hamas?
Right.
Three-year-olds, they ask them, what are the Jews and Christians? Pigs and apes, descendants from pigs and apes. Three-year-old child.
Right. And they play their, like how, you know, the American kids would grow up playing cowboys and Indians. They grow up holding AK-47s and other weapons, and their games are all played to kill Jews. What hope is there for a child that grows up in a world where they become accustomed to watching religious clerics execute in the most barbaric style their neighbors? Is there any hope for them?
May I ask you why
Sure.
you use the word execute? Because execute usually is with a proper
Yes.
judgment. They
Yes.
are slaughtering them. They're
Right.
butchering them.
They're
murdering them.
Them.
They're not executing them.
Yeah, it's also true.
I'm
that,
not saying words. Believe me, I'm not
Yeah.
playing on words.
No.
These people have no rights to what they are doing.
No.
So it's mass murder.
Yeah, and they're attempting to do it in a way that the victim suffers the maximum amount of anguish in public so that they dissuade anyone from resisting them. It's exactly what the Roman Catholic Church did for 1,000 years. It is what the Roman Empire did for better part of 1,000 years. It is what tyrants do when they have no conscience. I want to conclude IQ by saying you are the only person that predicted and understood what was happening in the Ukraine. Do you still see and do you still feel as you originally did that America has baited Russia into a situation where Russia will finally have to respond as America has been accusing them, and that we're going to have war?
Definitely. Whether we have war or not. No, Obama will not go to war. Obama will not go to war because he was given the Nobel Prize for Peace. I know it sounds simplistic, but it isn't simplistic. He avoids war like a plague, not only because he's a coward, not only because he doesn't know what he's doing, it's because he wants to keep the Peace Prize.
Well, you know, he baited the Russians into a position where they are going to have no choice but to invade the east of the Ukraine, and he has positioned NATO to respond. He baited Syria into a position where he was set to bomb them.
Putin will take over the eastern Ukraine within the year. Maybe next month, but I mean within the year, it's over.
Think the United States will not respond, which would make us the mouse that roared, and that roared so long that no one else even listens to the mouse anymore?
With all due respect, he's been roaring in Syria, in Libya, against Israel. But he flew 2,300 miles to go to see the king of Saudi Arabia. He spent 3 hours with him. He wasn't even invited for dinner.
Is the view of America abroad now discussed?
Believe me, we discussed. Not just they discuss it, but they discuss it with disgust.
Yes. So America has lost whatever prestige it had in the world, and everyone you talk to, everyone you encounter, views America now with disgust.
Absolutely.
This is
the worst thing you can do to a human being or to a group of a human being. When you look at them with contempt.
Yes.
And it's all because of Obama. Literally. He is the commander-in-chief. He is the president. The buck stops with him.
I would agree with you up to the point where you say it all is the result of Obama. I think he has contributed mightily to the disgust from and the contempt to which the world holds this nation. But I think his predecessors also contributed mightily as well. But America is not viewed favorably anywhere in this world.